Welcome to Kingstead Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. And wherever you're listening from, we believe God's word will impact your everyday life.
Hallelujah. It's so good to be here. So good to see you all. It's so good to celebrate God and celebrate life with you. We thank God for his good work of grace and glory and for the good work of ministry that he's doing through all of you that are here. And we know that God, who started this good work in you, he's actually doing some wonderful things and is blessing us and working in us in a special way. Someone say amen. Hallelujah. Well, we are so glad to have all the pastors from the King's Touch all over the nation of Tanzania. Thank you so much for being here, Pastor Dennis and the team from Kigamboni, Pastor Jackie and everyone, Pastor Monica and the guys from Arusha, the guys from Dodoma here. We thank God. We thank God for the good work that he's doing here in all your lives. Someone say amen. Amen. It's raining cats and dogs in Uganda. Matter of fact, it's actually raining hippos and crocodiles. The cats and dogs came down on Tuesday last week, but it's been raining nonstop. It's raining every day, like 6, 7, 8 hours every day. And I'm so glad I was able to come out and be out here. God bless the people in Uganda. And let them enjoy their good rains. But they love you. They're praying for you ceaselessly, and praying for you day and night. And we know that God is doing a good work in our lives. Someone say amen. Amen. I'm going to try my best to make this sweet and short because the traffic did hold us back. But as we get into the word tonight, let's go together. Let's go to the book of Amos chapter 9, where we are for the conference. Amos chapter 9, we'll be reading from verse 13. Amos chapter 9, we'll read from verse 13, but to give it context, we'll kick back all the way to 11, and then we'll take it from verse 11. The Bible declares, "In that day I will raise up the booth of David that is fallen and repair its breaches, and raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this." Verse 13, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God," says the Lord your God. That is in the ESV. That is in the English Standard Version of the Bible. Tonight, as we get into the conference, we want to talk about supernatural increase. We want to lay the ground for supernatural increase and lay the ground for the weekend as we get into the Word of God in our midst. Now, in the things of God, in the realm of God, there are seasons, there are times, and regardless of what is going on, when a season has arrived and you catch up with that season, that is what you walk in the fullness of the season. As I mentioned, it's been raining in Uganda, and it doesn't matter what you do, what you say, it's raining. It's the rain season. The timing and the season for the rain in Uganda is now, and all that you really ought to do is to catch up with it, because it's inevitable, it is going to rain. In the realms of God, there are seasons, there are times, seasons in the wisdom of God that he has set in his power, that he has set in his days. And once we understand the season of God right here, right now, and we position ourselves to walk in it, it is only a matter of time. What God has predestined for us will be manifest. Now, we're talking about the supernatural increase, a season of supernatural increase. And, you know, every time we gather in the conferences, the themes and what God is doing and the word that he gives us has been handpicked by God himself. It might be that someone, some leader, some person has been praying and waiting on God, and God drops the word for the season. But one thing I've noticed is that every time God does that and sets us up for the season, it's really what God is doing. And as we embrace it and as we walk in it, we get into the fullness thereof. And as we get into the supernatural increase, some of you might come here wondering, what is this all about, and what is God doing, and what is going on in this season? Today, we want to unpack it, the fullness thereof, and for us to understand it. Now, as Christians, we all know what the supernatural is all about. The supernatural is when the super of God touches our natural, and we stop walking and doing things at the realm and at the dimension and the speed of man. Now we begin to do things at the realm and the dimension and the speed of God. When the supernatural comes and touches your natural, you suddenly look good because God is upon you. God is with you. He simplifies the things that concerns you. He simplifies the things that you do, and it causes you to run at the speed of heaven, not at the speed of man. So the supernatural is really an extraordinary happening beyond the laws of nature, beyond the laws of man, beyond the expectations of science, beyond the times and the days and the dimensions of the natural. It is the realm where we are now functioning, in the realms and in the dimensions of God. So when you put supernatural and increase together in one sentence, you really are setting things up for a great shout, because the fact that you're bringing the grace of God, the speed of God, and then you're putting that upon the realm of increase, because increase is already supernatural in its way, somewhere, somehow. We don't know how it happens, and we don't know all the dynamics, but you plant one seed, and in return, you get 300. You plant two seeds, and in return, you get 10,000. So increase in itself is already an elevation of the extraordinary workings of God. But when you take increase and you slap it with extraordinary increase, man, you have just put together a concoction that is fixing to explode. If you're in a lab, we'll call you a mad scientist. You really don't put supernatural and increase together in one sentence, one after the other. Well, when you put it all together, I mean, you're really coming forth like a Frankenstein, like some hybrid of sorts, because increase already by itself is supernatural. So when you take supernatural and add it to increase, you're fixing to do something that is really generational and that is going to be a turning point, a defining moment. And I believe this weekend for us is going to be not only a turning point, but it's going to be a defining moment where you look back and point onto this weekend and say, you know what? Something broke through, something broke loose, and we got onto a sudden level, into a sudden anointing over that weekend. That is what supernatural increase is all about. Now, the word increase means to process or to bring about an action of multiplication, of increase, an action of making greater, an action of enlarging, growing, expanding, stretching beyond the limits, augmenting. I hope I lost you with those many words, because after losing you with those many words, I want to give you one word which you'll probably understand, and that is the word zidisha. Because at the end of the day, when you have an increase, you really have a zidisha. You have a supernatural abounding. Did I say it right? All right. Just to make sure. When you have an increase, you have an augmentation that causes you to function at a level, at a dimension beyond yourself, at a level, at an anointing beyond you. It causes you to function at the level beyond your wisdom, your connections. It causes you to function at the level of the destiny of God. So we are taking supernatural and slapping it onto increase, and we're putting it together in this one weekend. And we're saying and believing and trusting and unleashing the word of God for supernatural increase for you in this season and at this time. For you as an individual, for you in your family, for you in your business, for you as a ministry, as a church, specifically on the ministry level, there is an anointing, there is a grace for supernatural increase. There's an anointing, there is a grace for supernatural abundance where it is not your speed, it's not your ways, it's the speed and the ways of God. It's not what you're doing, it is what God is doing, and that is where God is releasing us today. Now, we read in the book of Amos, Amos chapter 9. Those words are gracious words, but they are not only gracious words, they are words of great alarm. Because when you pick it up from verse 13, the things that God is declaring unto us, beginning at verse 13, are things that cause your ears to tingle. He says, "Behold, the days are coming when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes whom sows the seed. The mountain shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land." So as you can see, this is not just an event of today. It is an event that defines the future. This is not an event of the now and of the here. It is an event where people will point back to and say, this is when and where and how God started what we are seeing here. This is not an event that is like a yo-yo, up and down. It's not a seasonal thing. It is not something peradventure that is, you know, going to happen at the end of every year. But this is monumental. This is defining. This is definitive. This is really God bringing you to the cusp of, so that now you come into the realms of breakthrough. You really don't have to go back from here. When you come to a place of supernatural abundance, supernatural increase, you're breaking the bonds, breaking the limits, getting into dimensions where you will not go back of again, getting into realms where you will not be uprooted again, where you will be planted in the land, where the hills and the mountains will give of the wine, where the gardens will give of the abundance thereof, where you will be planted in the land, build houses and dwell in them, plant vineyards and drink the fruit thereof. This is really not just a blessing. This is a definition. This is not just a moment, a visitation. This is a breakthrough. This is not just a one-off. This is becoming business as usual. This is setting the standard and defining the moment for many generations. And as we talk about supernatural increase, I want you to put it in your heart that what God is doing in this season of supernatural increase is not just increasing you, but is defining you. He's not just setting you up with a season of blessing, but is setting up a realm of supernatural abundance where you will function therein non-stop for generations to come, where God is doing things that will last your lifetime and will go on into the lifetime of your children. Somebody say amen. And going into the lifetime of your grandchildren. I know you don't have kids yet, but yeah, that's how God does it. Sometimes it sets you up not just for you, but for generations to come. And that's why I want you to lift the limits of this conference theme and don't define it as another season of being blessed, but understand that God is expanding and setting things up far beyond, far above, far bigger, far greater than just the one-off. I know you probably were thinking, let's go into the season. Let's go into the conference of supernatural increase and God will give me a Mercedes. God is not looking at giving you a Mercedes. He's fixing to set you up that Mercedes will become your second name. People will be bothered when you don't come in Mercedes. You see, you're thinking that I'll just get a little blessing here and there, but God is trying to change your middle
your name so that when people say blessing, they are actually referring to you. It's not a one-off. It's not a little something here and there. It's not a trickle, but it is something that is far bigger, far greater, far grander than just a seasonal blessing. Now, I know Pastor C asked if there are first-time visitors here tonight, but you probably snuck in and you didn't put up your hand. But I know that many people in the world, when they come to churches and they hear themes like supernatural increase and supernatural abundance, some of them come in and they're getting worried and they're thinking, there they go again, there they go again, there they go again. And they come in tight-fisted and they leave their handbag in the car and they leave their ATM in the car and they leave their checkbook in the car and they're thinking to themselves, somebody's fixing to collect a lot of money. Now, you see, if you limit supernatural increase to just money being collected, you're missing the whole point. God wants you to come into the realm of such supernatural increase that you can single-handedly be able to do things that generations have not done. That you can single-handedly come through and make things happen in the kingdom of God that have taken forever to happen. That you can get in there and not just be able to have a trickle of the blessing, but get to the realms and the dimensions that blessings don't threaten you. Blessings don't worry you. What I'm talking about, some of you get worried when we talk about 5 million. You get worried. By the time we talk about 15, your blood pressure is going up. By the time we talk about 20, you're having sleepless night. But there is a realm where you sign a check for 500 million and you don't sweat. And you ask your accountant if it was that week's 500 or next week's 500. There is a realm where you sign and you talk about a billion and your hand is not shaking. Some of you are getting your offering and it is only 2 million and your hand is shaking and you're dropping it and you're picking it and you're asking for extra prayer and it's only 2 million and you're calling everyone, calling the deacons, calling your mother-in-law, calling your father, calling even the children, only 2 million. There is a realm where you bring together 2 billion and you don't even sweat. Yeah. There is a realm where you bring together 500 million and you don't even remember. And you don't even remember. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, supernatural increase. Say it one more time, supernatural increase. Come on, lift one hand and say, supernatural increase. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In 2026, I was in Malawi. I was doing ministry in Malawi, and the Lord spoke to me about giving me the nation of Malawi and through the media ministry. And he told me he needs me to set up a radio station. Now, there was only one private radio station in the country, and I'm a foreigner in a country called Malawi, and they have all these rules and regulations, and they've never given anyone else a license. So I go up in there, I fill out a form, and I look at the man who is doing the form together, filling the form, and he tells me, fill this field, and I fill out all the detail, and after I fill out the detail, I hand it in. As soon as I hand it in, and I'm driving home, and the Lord speaks to me and says, I need you to sow a supernatural seed, believing me to release a supernatural license for you, because there's no license for you, but you can release the supernatural license that I have for you. I'll never forget it. It is many years ago, 2005, about 20 years ago. I think, yeah, that's about 20 years ago. So when the Lord spoke to me, I did not have much money, but I gathered my faith. I gathered everything around me, everything about me. Amen. Now, Pastor C, I gathered everything. I huffed and puffed and did everything humanly possible and gathered everything. I gathered $2,600. And the Lord spoke to me how to sow this seed. And I began to believe God as I went to sow this seed. And the Lord told me to take this seed to a specific place and sow this seed. I went out there, I met the man of God, and it was a busy meeting. I did not get to share or talk or whatever. And God told me, I wanted to sow that seed. So I put that seed in the envelope. I'm believing God to release this license for this radio station. And I sowed that seed. It was in the month of March. I went back to Malawi in the month of April. The license was issued in less than 1 month. Now, there was a waiting list for about 3 years. People have applied, and for 3 years, they've not got it. I have sown a seed, and within 1 month, the license is issued. When they issued this license, I sold this seed. I went back to Malawi. I went to the office, and I told them, guys, you received my application. What are we going to do? I need to get going. They looked at me and smiled and said, what are you waiting for? Your license is already ready. I said, what do you mean? They said to me, your license has, there's not been a license that has been processed so quick and so fast that is countrywide, that is so large, and that has been issued that quick. You need to move right now. So I stayed in Malawi for another 3 weeks because the license has been issued and I need to get this thing operational within another month. All right? Now, of course, there was no deadline, but what's the point of being given a license that you don't operate? So within 3 weeks, I headed out of the country. I headed to the United States, and I'm saying, God, I've sowed a seed for supernatural. I don't want to do this at my speed. I don't want to do this at my level. I don't want to do this at my dimension. I want to do it at the dimension of God. So a friend of mine, Bishop Downs, a few of you know him, he called me. I told him, look, we've just got the license. And then he said, come out here. Let's talk about it and see what we can do to raise all the equipment. So I flew to the States. I showed up there, and the bishop was so busy, and he sent me to some little church somewhere in the village. You know, villages are bad in Africa, but when you go to a village in America, you're really in a bad place. Huh? Hallelujah. It was so deep in the village, I couldn't even pronounce the name. They hadn't seen black people there since Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, it was that far back. I went and rocked up in this church, and the pastor was called Scott Spencer, dear friend of mine, dear man of God. I showed up there, and we talked about it, and I told him, Bishop told me to come, this is what we're going to do, but he's busy, and Scott told me he's busy, he's going to Guatemala, but don't worry, he'll be back in about 3 weeks. Anyway, we'll get to it, but as of now, come and begin to share, and you're going to preach the gospel. So I stand up, and I share, and I talk about this testimony. I say, we've just been given a license, and we need to get operational, but God will provide. When I finished, I stood at the altar praying for people, and a man was checking me out. He looked old. We are in the village. He looked old. He looked like a villager, you know, and I could size him up. He was a real redneck, if you know what I'm saying. Real redneck, you know, from back in the village. And he came up to the altar. I thought he wants to get born again. I prayed for people who got born again, laid my hands on a few people, and then looked at me and said, you've been talking about that radio station. And then he said to me, have you come up with a budget? To be honest, I hadn't come up with a budget. I was clueless. I had no clue what kind of budget. And I said, yes. Amen. By faith. Amen. And it was a very confident yes. I looked at him and said, yes. He looked me up, and then he's like, what's the budget? And I looked at him and I told him, we're going to need about $60,000. Now, I was actually feeling sorry for him when I was telling him all this. Amen. I was really feeling sorry for the man. So in my heart, I thought, he's going to give us $1,000 and then we'll get on with it. And he looked at me and said, okay, that's easy. We can do that on Monday. I looked at him and said, hold on a minute. Pastor, come. There's some rubbish, this man. He said, come. Monday, I said 60, not 6, not 600, not $60, I said $60,000. And the man looked at his pastor, looked at me, and said, I've just told the bishop, let's do the shopping and get all the equipment done on Monday. And this man was such a man of God, now I'm figuring out. He's such a man. He actually says 60,000 is not enough. You actually need about 80,000 because after all the gear is bought, you need to ship it and you need to insure it. So let's write out a check for $80,000. I'm thinking the guy is going to cough and huff and puff and bring out $1,000. And just like that, with my half-hearted sermon, I'm walking out of the church with $80,000. I mean, if God had told me before, I would have done much better. I mean, I have so many sermons. I really have world-class stuff. You don't take world-class stuff to the villages of Parkland in redneck country, but I'm talking about supernatural abundance. Supernatural increase is where the speed of God overtakes you, where the grace of God overtakes you, where the hand of God overtakes you, where it's not what you can do in your ability, but what God gets done in His ability. I showed up, listen, I had planned to be gone for 3 months. I was back in Africa in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I mean, what else am I going to be doing around here, hanging around? What else is there to do here? I was on the next plane out, because the supernatural increase of God happens in the timing and in the way of God, and it defines you. With this radio station, we're able to reach out from the south of the country, a radius spanning almost 2,000 kilometers, reaching into Zambia, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, all Malawi, and coming right up to Mbeya as well, down in Tanzania. And all this is coming because of the supernatural increase of God. Fast forward, 2016, I fly to Australia for the very first time. God speaks to me and tells me to go to Australia. He had spoken to me earlier, but this time around, God speaks to me and He says, get up, go to Australia. I did not know anyone there, I'd never met anyone there, and I picked up my phone, I called two pastors. I said, God has spoken to me to go to Australia, but I don't know anyone. Do you know anyone? The first one told me, yeah, I know this man. He told me his name. I think he can have you. So I figured, okay. And then he told me about, this man does not have much going on. I said, what do you mean? He said, he used to be a pastor, but he's now retired, but he's a good man. He will host you. I said, all right, no worries. So I called the other pastor. I know two people. I called this one, and he tells me this man. He tells me his name. Then I called the other pastor that I know, and I said, look, I'm going to Australia, and do you know anyone there? God has spoken to me. I need to get to Australia. And then he tells me the same man. Tells me the same stories, like they have shared reports, and they say, he says, there's this man, he's retired from the pastoral ministry, but he's a good man, he will host you, but he doesn't have a church, there's not much going on there. And I said, okay, if God is saying, it's been confirmed by two. So we call up the man, he puts everything together, and he tells me the same thing. He says, I'm going to host you, but I don't have a church, I don't have much going on, but if God has sent you here, He's going to do everything. Hallelujah. Now, before I jumped onto the plane, God spoke to me and He said, I'm giving you a word for the nation. You're going to minister to people in high places and in low places. I'm opening up the nation before you. I'm giving you the king of the land. Meanwhile, my host has just retired from ministry. He said, all right, that sounds good. I show up on a Thursday night. He picks me up from the airport, takes me to his house, very humble home. Amen. Saturday morning, he says to me, let's go out and meet a few people. I said, good. So we go to this breakfast meeting. Show up at this breakfast meeting. We're sharing at a church. There are many pastors there. We share and talk. And then the preacher stands up and he preaches. And after speaking, he's done. And the presence of God is present there. But the preacher does not know what to do with it. And then the pastor says, we have a man of God here from Africa. And then he says to me, stand up and greet the people of God, and let's see what God will do. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Picture this. The preacher has set it up. The atmosphere is pregnant, ready, and you don't know what to do with it. All the buttons are ready. Just press whatever you want, and then press enter, and then miracles begin to download, and then you say you have some few minutes, come. You can imagine, I mean, the presence of God hit the place, the anointing of God hit the place. I'm prophesying, I'm ministering to people. The breakfast meeting, they told me 5 minutes, I think it took another 2 hours before we ended. So we finished that. When we finished that, they look at me and say, well, wow, how comes we didn't know you were coming? I said, don't worry, you didn't know, but God knew I was coming. And then they say to me, the pastor, it's like he's joking, and one of the leaders, the way you've come here is as if God wants you to speak to the nation. I said, yeah, that's not a joke. God spoke to me, and I've got a word for the nation, and I've got a word for the prime minister. Amen? And we laughed about it and went, had our breakfast, and went back to lay low. In our humble abode. Amen. That is Saturday. Sunday, Another man called me, says, what are you doing? I say, no, we are out here doing nothing. He says, there's no way you can be out there doing nothing on a Sunday morning, Bishop. I want you to come over here and do ministry. I said, no worries. So he comes, picks me up. We go out there and do ministry. On the way back, he asks me, are you sure the Lord has given you a word for this nation? I said, yes. He's given me a word to be precise. He told me the king. I don't know, but the king sounds like the prime minister. Anyway, and then he says, are you sure? I said, yes. And the word is coming with an anointing to make it happen. He drops me off. Monday he calls me back and he says, I've decided to call the prime minister's office so that you can go minister to the prime minister and to the nation. I'm thinking to myself, okay, this will be fun. He calls back 2 hours later. He says, there's no appointment for you to be the prime minister. There's a waiting list for 6 months. You don't just walk up in here and meet the prime minister, see, gee, God has sent you with a word for the nation. I said to him, well, if God has sent the word and God has given the anointing and he wants it to be done, it will be done. And 3 days later, he calls me back. He says, you can't believe this. The office of the prime minister has called and they have said that the prime minister has no appointment schedule in his schedule. You can't meet him. But the prime minister is coming to the city where you are. He'll be in Adelaide in a week's time. Would you like to go to that meeting? You won't meet him, but would you like to just be in that meeting? My friend called me back. I told him, oh, yes. It is on. The deal is back on. It was a Thursday. I wake up in the morning. The Lord speaks to me and he says, well, you're going to minister to the nation. And from here, I'm going to bust this nation open. And I'm going to open things before you. And I want you to come and prophesy to the prime minister. This is the word. And it was a very clear word. And that's in the morning. And then he tells me, I want you to dress up in a suit and tie. Now, when you're in Australia, they dress down. They don't wear ties, they don't wear suits. And the Lord told me, you must be wearing a suit and a tie. So I called the man who's taking me to the meeting. I told him, God has given me a word this morning. Make sure you put your best suit on and your best tie on because it's going to go down. It's going to be wonderful. So anyway, we put on our ties and we show up at this town hall meeting. And it's a luncheon kind of meeting. People are sitting around tables. And guess what? We are the only 2 people wearing a suit and a tie. Hallelujah. There are only 2 people wearing a suit and a tie. So we sit down, we get comfortable an hour before the prime minister comes in. And when the prime minister comes in, everyone is caught away in their chit chat. So they realize that the prime minister has come in and they keep quiet, but they ignore him. And they all keep quiet, but they ignore him. Out of the blue, I felt the grace of God come on me. I stood up and started clapping. My friend who was with me stood up and started clapping. Everyone in the place was embarrassed. They stood up and started clapping. The prime minister noticed a guy at the corner back there in a suit and a tie clapping. He walked straight to my table, put his hand in my hand and said, who are you and what are you doing in my country? I looked at him and said, Mr. Prime Minister, I'm Bishop Richard Lutwama. God has sent me here with a word for you. And he said, what? He sat down on my table for 15 minutes. I unpacked the word. It was a word for the nation on the direction of parliament, a word of instruction, a word of his political party and the chaos in his political party, a word of correction. I prophesied for 15 minutes. After giving him the word, he received the word, stood up, gave his speech for about 20 minutes, came back to my table, said, Bishop, come, walk to the prime minister's car. The security people are wondering, who is this guy? Who is this guy? My friend who was born in his suit and tie is saying, who is this guy? Who are you? Who are you? Who on earth are you? Long and short of it, the word of prophecy began to get fulfilled within 3 months. There was a coup. The word was about a parliamentary coup on his life. And the coup happened within 3 months. They tried to get rid of him. The word was for correction and direction on the issues why there was a coup and on the laws that he needed to put in place. He put them in place. I am back in Africa. My phone is ringing. It's the prime minister's office. I'm getting missed calls from the prime minister. Hello, is this Bishop Richard? The prime minister wants a word with you. The word was for his political party, that he needed to set some things in place in his political party. The word was pregnant. It took 2 years for the entire word to be unpacked. Because after 2 years, there are things that he hadn't done in his party that still came back to bite. Because at the conclusion of the word, the Lord told me there is a fox in his house, and he needs to get rid of that fox. And it took 2 years, but he didn't realize it. His own party, there was a woman who turned against him in his own party and did a proceeding to get him impeached. Anyway, forget all that. In all that moment, the nation of Australia opened up, because mayors, governors, everyone. When I go into Australia, I'm a celebrity. Even I don't know me. Forget my humble days. Forget my humble days of laying the law. Hallelujah. Everything opened up. I'm canceling bishops. I'm canceling archbishops. When churches are being divided in Australia, they invite me to bring them back in place. Mayors, governors, the mayor of Adelaide is asking for lunch and breakfast with me. If you can't come for this lunch, let's do this dinner. If you cannot fail to come. I mean, they literally, God just opened up the whole nation. What am I saying? At my speed, I'll get to the prime minister after 6 years. But when God says now, he's going to get you there now. At my speed, I'm going to get the job done after 17 tries. At the supernatural speed of God, is going to be done the very first time. At my speed, I will huff and puff, and after I've done my best will still not get me through the door. But at the speed and at the grace of God, you don't need an appointment. You need God's hand. You don't need who knows you and who doesn't know you. What matters is that God knows you. At the speed of God, it doesn't matter what your limits, what are they? Are what your abilities are. What counts is that now you've entered a realm of supernatural increase. I just came back from Australia 3 weeks ago. For 5 years, they kept saying, you cannot go a year without coming. For 5 years, they've been buying tickets, and I've been failing to go for 5 years. And they have not been offended, and they say, we'll buy more tickets. We'll buy more tickets. We'll buy more tickets. Amen. When God gets it done at his time in his own way, it is not you. It's not your way. It's not your wisdom. It is the supernatural grace and the wisdom of God. In 2020, we had the big massive lockdown called COVID. Shut down everything. Uganda was hit the worst. We had the worst lockdown in the world. We were locked down for 2 years. I shared briefly here the testimony how God spoke to me to close the church 3 months before COVID. Not to shut it down temporarily, not to change tactics, but to close it down. And we began to do a countdown. Most countdowns are beautiful. 3 days to the conference, 2 days to the conference. Save the date. Good, glorious. We had a beautiful countdown. 3 days to close, 3 weeks to close the church, 2 weeks to close the church. The last Sunday was a big celebration. This is the last Sunday! Church is closed! This is it! Pastors looked at me and said, what next? You're closing church down, what next? I told them, sadly, God has not told me what next. Amen? It's not me doing this. It's God doing this. The cable, the email, the message has not yet fully downloaded. What we have is shut it down. We shut it down so gloriously in a very organized way. The last Sunday was so good. We said goodbye to everyone. Make sure your WhatsApp is on. There's no service coming. This is the last one. It was a Sunday. On Tuesday, the president got up and announced he has shut down the country. Say, this is called COVID lockdown. Don't leave home. Don't go anywhere. Pray at home. God will hear you. No work, no nothing. I have to tell you, I looked very good. I actually looked so good. Some people were mad at me. They're saying, no, 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 Zay. We all hear God. You can't be this accurate. You're hearing another Mzee there. You're hearing things from the Mzee. Why didn't you warn us? Why did you tell us? Anyway, we shut the church down. Lockdown was for 2 years. After 2 years, things open up. We are restarting the church. We are meeting in a tent. We put together everything and we began meeting in a tent. When we began meeting in a tent, we were about 15 people in a tent. Tell your neighbor, 15 people in a tent. We began meeting with 15 people. We gathered our first offering. It was about 150,000 shillings. Tell your neighbor, 150,000 shillings. Offering. Big Sunday. Tell your neighbor, Big Sunday. 150,000. And that Sunday, the Lord told me, you need to begin building a sanctuary. The plans for the building was about 1.2 billion Uganda shillings. With offerings of 150,000, God is saying, begin building. Now, all of you know I'm a humble man, but I'm not down. At least you know that. You know how humble I am. Amen? But you also know I'm not that down. I say, God, we can't do this. God, we can't start a building project of 1.2 billion with income of 150,000. This went on for 2 months. I said, God, I'm not doing this. Then one day I'm in prayer and I said, God, I've come to see your face. God said, I'm not talking to you. I said, what? God said, I don't talk to rebels like you. I said, God, you're taking this too personal. I've come to talk to you, Father. He said, no. I don't talk to rebellious boys. I don't. I said, God, my hands are clean. What are you talking about? He said, I told you to begin building 2 months ago. You've refused. If you won't start building, don't bother praying. I'm not interested in your prayers and your worship seat. You want? I'm not interested. I said, God, listen, God. To build a building like this, you need to prepare yourself. All right? God, this is how we do this. You prepare yourself. You put together a good committee. You do fundraising for 5 years. You do car wash. You do car this. You do everything. You do coupons. You do pledges. You do everything. And then you get the building project going after 5 years. And God told me that's a good plan. And he says, you can do it. But that will be your church. That will be your work. My church, my work. You do it my way. I want you to start next week. If you don't start next week, don't bother praying, don't bother with your worship. Just do your own thing. Don't talk to me. I didn't tell anyone. I just prepared myself. How do you tell people? How do you gather organized people like you, pastors and elders, and tell them we are starting a building project? We have 150,000 income. Bank balance, 1 million. Bank balance. You call the bank manager. You call with power. Hello, bank manager. What's the balance? How much balance? Bank, how much balance? He says, sir, your honorable bishop, we have 1 million here. How do you gather people like this? These are sensible people. You don't gather people like this and tell them. So I didn't tell anyone anything. Come Sunday, I told my personal assistant, go buy spades, go buy pickaxe, go buy shovel, go buy axe. All the people showed up to the church, they don't know what's going on. They said, thank you for being here. Hallelujah. I want to tell you from today, you are pioneers. Because by the grace of God, we are breaking ground in Jesus' name. They were embarrassed because they knew I was serious. The spades were there, the shovels were there. They just said, like the disciples said, let's go with him and just die with him. Let's just go and die with the man. So we marched to the grounds and began breaking ground. From the tent with a church that is giving 150,000, 1 million in a bank, breaking ground for a building 1.2 billion. Finished breaking ground, dedicated it, thank God. I'll never forget it because it was Father's Day. It was Father's Day. And one big father in the land called me on that Father's Day and says, I hear you've broken ground. I said, oh yes. He said to me, What took you so long? I gave him the explanation. I'm an organized man. I know I'm humble. I'm humble, but I'm very organized. He laughed at me and says, so what has happened to your organization? And he told me, actually, you've been too late. God wanted you to have started this way before. I said to him, true, but now you're just showing off. And then he laughed and he said to me, there's a check that I prepared for you. I said, oh, he's a good man. He's a very humble man. If you met him, you wouldn't think that he's worth much. And in my heart, I thought, yeah, he's going to give us some good 600,000. If he really pushes the envelope, 655. If he really pushes the envelope. And he said, I'm sending 40 million shillings. You should have seen the hallelujah that came out. You should have seen the shout of hallelujah that came out. Because when we are breaking ground, all we have is hoes and pickaxes and shovels and the word from God. We enter the realm of the supernatural. From that day, money started coming in. From some people, I would even ask them, where did you get this money? You see, when some of you bring money, we receive it gladly. But when some of you bring it, we say, Which bank did you rob this time? Do I need to take my phones off after I receive this offering? Do I turn phone off? Should I run quickly and buy the cement? Some people, when they bring the offering, run quickly, pastor. Buy cement. Buy iron bars. Buy. Because after 20 minutes, they'll be coming back saying, sorry, we made a mistake. People are bringing offering and say, where did you get this money? How? Non-stop, non-stop. 100 million here, 50 million here, 30 million here, 2 million, 5 million, 7, 300, non-stop money. Because now we are not in the realm of what I want to do. We are in the realm of supernatural increase. It's not me doing it. It is God doing it. Hallelujah. It got so bad, Pastor Nsia, I would wake up with our pastoral team and our leadership team and the building team, and there's no money, and I'll be itching and saying, the money, I feel it, it is coming. I'll never forget one particular day, there was a need for 60 million. I was feeling it, 60 million. As we are with the pastors, I tell them 60 million is coming. And suddenly the phone rings and I put them on speaker, and the man the other says, I'm sending 60, not 65, not 62, I'm sending 60 million. It's not me doing this. You know, there's a realm where you're doing it. Thank you for doing it. But there's a realm where God takes over. There's a realm where God says, you've done enough. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your faithfulness. Let me show you how I can do this thing from here. The realm of supernatural increase is not what you want. It's not what you're doing. It's not how you're doing it. The realm of supernatural increase is when God takes over and it is not you. It's not your wisdom. It's not your connection. It's not your experience. It's not your knowledge. It's not who you are. It is all about God and doing things at the realm of God. We were able to finish that building within a year. Across from us, a valley from where the church is, there is a Catholic church. How many of you know the Catholics have a lot of money? Are the Catholics in Tanzania broke? Is there any former Catholic here?
Yeah.
How many of you know Catholics are loaded? Across from Redemption in Kampala, there is a Catholic church. They've been building it for 20 years. 20 years. They've been roofing it for 1 year. As we speak now, they have finished roofing it. When we started the building fund, the elders from that church came. Matter of fact, government CIA, government secret service spies came to say, no. Where are you stealing all this money? Where are you getting this money? How? Where? They froze their accounts. Where is the money coming from? How? Where? They came inspecting in and out. And of course, we had no clue. We think these are good first-time visitors coming to love the Lord. Kumbe, they are on a mission. Where is the money coming from? This is COVID. You don't build after COVID at the speed like you're going at. 1 year, the church sanctuary was roofed and finished. In 1 year. Being used within 1 year. What am I saying? There's a realm where you're doing it, and there's a realm of supernatural increase. I'm going to give you three things before we let you go tonight. Number one, supernatural increase is about the supernatural timing of God. It is not your timing, it is the timing of God. It's not your it's not when you're ready, it is when God is ready. It's not when you want to do it, it's when God wants to do it. You know, in the book of Amos, God gets that word to his people because God is saying, this is my time. This is my time. This is my time. I came to declare to you, King Starch, that the timing of God, the supernatural timing of God is upon you right now. This is God's hour for you right now. You've been through the fire, you've been through the valley, and now God is setting you up on the mountaintop. God is pleased with you, and his calendar, the timing of God, has suddenly dialed you in. It's not because you are ready, it is because God is ready. It's not because you want to do it, it's because God wants to do it. It's not because you're wise and capable of doing it, it's because God is saying, now is the hour, now is the time, this is the day, this is the season, I'm gonna do it because this is my time. I came to declare to you today that in this season of supernatural increase, I want you to be mindful of the time of God. It is quicker when it is God's time. It is easier when it is God's time. It is bigger when it is God's time. It is easier when it is God's time. Matter of fact, when it is God's time, you only look the part. It is God that does the heavy lifting. People look at you and you look like you've got it all together. You don't got it all together. It is God who's got you together and he's got you in the palm of his hand and he's brought you through the valley, through the mountain, through the dark times, through the easy times, and now he's saying, my hour to glorify you is here, my hour to increase you is here, my timing to bless you and to make you a blessing and to make you an example to the nations is now. Now is the day, now is the hour, now is the moment. It's not about you, how good you are, how clever you are, how fast you can go, how slow you can go, who you know and who you do not know. It is all about the timing of God. When God says the hour has arrived, it doesn't matter what hell says, it doesn't matter what the world does. When the hour of God has come upon you, God's hour, God's timing will make it happen. Ask Joseph. He was in the jail. They forgot about him for 2 years. His connections forgot about him. Those who could help him refused to help him. For 2 years, they forgot about Joe. But thank God, God did not forget about Joe. In the right day, in the right moment, in the right season, when the timing was right, when the hour was full, the Bible declares they came looking for Joseph because Pharaoh could not sleep at night. He had a dream and he was restless, he was sleepless, and he said, bring me a man that can interpret the word of God. And they told him, the man is in a jail. He said, I'm not going to wait for tomorrow. Now is the hour. Bring that man right here, right now. And they brought Joseph out of the dungeon because the timing was right. Oh, men may have forgot you, but God will not forget you. When the timing is right in God, God will elevate you. Men may have put you on the side and they said, you'll not get there, you will not get it done. But when God Almighty says, now is the hour, it does not matter where you are, what men have done, what men will do, the timing of God is everything. That's why he says, let the weak say, I am stronger. Let the poor say, I am richer. Let those who have been laid aside, who have been forgotten, let them say, there is yet hope in the land of the living, because my hour has come. This is how he said it. I know my Redeemer lives, and in my flesh, in the right timing of God, I will see God. I will see his grace. Everybody has his time. Everybody has his day. And kings, touch your day. Your timing in God is dawning right now. Is dawning right here. Is dawning right now where you are. You may not be able to do it yourself, but when God says this is the time, one will chase 1,000. Two will put 10,000 to flight. Guess what? What you could not do in your past life, in your own ability, you will do it even without realizing, because the timing of God is all that it takes. The Bible says the sons of Issachar, they knew the times and the seasons. They knew the moments, and they knew it is here, it is now. It is not tomorrow, it is not there. It is here, it is now. They were sleepless, they were restless, because they knew this is it, this is it, this is it. And I came to declare to you, King Church, this is it, this is it, this is your time. This is your moment. This is your season. The time for the supernatural move of God, the time for the supernatural increase of God is here, and it is now. Hallelujah! It is here, and it is now. It is not your speed. It is not your wisdom. It's not your connection. It is not your experience. It is all about the connection and the timing of God. It is not your moment. You as you, your ability, you as you. It is lying in the timing of God. When you catch the timing of God, when you catch the moment of God, when you catch the season of God, oh, even a humble man will look so good, because it is all in the timing. I believe for King's Touch, there is a thing that has been moving in the clocks of God. I believe there's been a churning in the mechanics, in the realm of the Spirit, ticking, talking, and bringing you ever closer to this moment where everything is going to line up in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of God, and the realm of the Spirit is going to say, now is the hour. This is how the psalmist said it. Now is the hour. Glorify your Son in this moment, in this season. He actually said, Lord, in the book it's been written of me, and now I come to fulfill that which has been written in the book, because now is the time. Those of you who are women know when the hour has come to bring forth that child. It doesn't matter how pretty you are, the hour has come. It doesn't matter whether your hair is made up or not made up, the hour has come. It doesn't matter whether your husband is around or is nowhere to be seen. When the hour has come for you to bring forth that baby, it don't matter whether you're small, whether you're little, whether you're filled, whether you're not filled. It doesn't matter whether your nails are down or they are not done. When the hour has come, when the moment is ripe, it doesn't matter whether your mother-in-law is there, whether your uncle is there, whether the hospital is ready or not. It doesn't matter whether they agree or disagree. It doesn't matter whether you're in wedding or you're in wedlock or out of wedlock. When the hour has come, when the hour has arrived, you will stand forth and roar. You will stand forth and release. When the everything will cease, and wait for the hour. The second thing I wanted to put in your spirit is not only is this the timing, the right timing of God, the right moment, but the second thing I wanted to put in your spirit is the speed of God. You see, the supernatural increase does not happen according to the speed of man. It happens according to the speed of God. It does not happen according to the time of man. We've already said that. It happens according to the speed and the time of God. I'm going to take you back to Amos. I want to take you back to Amos chapter 9. We're going to close with this one here. Amos chapter 9. But this time, I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. Amos chapter 9. The Message Bible declares, oh, yes indeed, it won't be long now, God declares. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim, one thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessing, blessing like wine poured off the mountains and the hills. I'll make everything right again for my people. I'm going to read that again. Things are going to happen so fast. Things are going to happen so fast. That's the message. So fast, on the heels after the other, your head will be swimming. One thing fast on the heels of the other, you won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessing upon blessing upon blessing. As I conclude tonight, guys, supernatural increase is all about the speed of God. It's not the speed of man. There are times you get tired. And you know what? Thank you for being tired. But what's the speed of God? There are times you say, I don't have strength. I can't keep going. But then there are rounds where you say, what's the speed of God? But Sansi has told you, I was fasting and praying and believing God. And she told me, Bishop, Mzee, you can't be fasting for 6 months. I told her, what is 6 months? What is 6 months? This is the speed of God. You know, sometimes you feel sorry for yourself and you want to go at the speed of man. You want to take your time. You want to make your sweet time. Be able to start the building and finish it within 6 years. And choose out your colors properly. And choose out the paint and the drapes. But then there's a realm in God when things are happening so fast. You can't get your head around it. It's going to be happening so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of another. You won't be able to keep up. It means the realm of the supernatural increase of God happens at the speed of God. Therefore, you now elevate your speed, elevate your fasting, elevate your praying, elevate your doing, and come out of the speed of man, the speed of you, and come into the speed of God. Where people have done it in 20, you will do it in 2. Where people have done it in 17, you will do it in 1. Where it took them failing 7 times, you'll get it right the first time. Where people needed to call their whole village and their whole clan, you'll get it done with your high school teammates. Where people needed to call on the nations, you will get it done with a district, because it is happening at the speed of God. I can get it done. I can help you. I can do this. I can do that. Thank you so much for all you can do. But there is a realm in God where it is not at your speed, where it is at the speed of God. Guys, you're going to enter into a realm where time is going to collapse upon itself. You're going to enter into a realm where your month is not 30 days. Where you're going to have in 30 days work and breakthroughs like of 100 days. Where you're going to have in 1 month what others have in 7 years. Because time has collapsed upon itself. You all understand the Bible says a day is like 1,000, but that's where you end. You forget it goes on to say 1,000 is like a day. May God collapse the time fabric in your life, that in one day you will do what others could not do in 1,000 days. So that in one day you will do what people cannot get done if they have 2,000 days. If people are able to do it in 2,000 days, there is a grace, there is a speed, there is an anointing, there is a glory that will quicken you, and the speed will enable you to get it done and to get you there much quicker, much faster, much easier. Because there is a speed. There is a speed. There is a speed. There is a speed of God. Oh, I know you make plans with your husband. You make plans with your committee. Thank you for your committee and your leaders and your elders. Thank you for putting it all together. We honor you. You're respectable people and you're very sensible. But there is a realm where God says, you're too slow for me. You're too slow for me. Your committee is too slow for me. Your ideas are too slow for me. Your strategies are too slow for me. If I go according to your speed, I will need 50 years to get this done. But if you go according to my speed, you will get it done in 5 years. You will get it done in 2 years. You will get it done in 1 year, because you're moving at the speed of God. Supernatural increase happens at the speed of God. I'll take you back there. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. In Uganda, we say loonga. Walionzeko. In Kiswahili, what is kuunga? Noonga. Huh? Kuzunguzungu. Huh? Let me tell you kizunguzungu. You didn't think you'd get married? The brother shows up out of nowhere. All he wants you to do is to smile. He's buying everything. He's paying everything. Your family does not even need to show up. He's paying, bringing everyone. Your aunties, your uncles who don't have clothes is shopping. You don't even have food at your house for the wedding preparation. He's financing everything. And before you know it, within a short, shortest period of time, you are already on the altar. No zunga zunga no zunga, no gamba chile chisaka chaze. Chizungu zungu, you call it chizungu zungu. Yeah? What God is saying, things are going to happen so fast, you'll get spiritual chizungu zungu. Where you cannot sleep, lest you wake up out of the dream. Where you cannot sleep, lest you wake up in the morning and you find out it was only a dream.
You say, I will stay awake. I will just stay awake until we finish the wedding and we have 2 children. Then I can wake up. I can wake up after 2 children. I can wake up. There is a realm in God where the speed of God overtakes you and your head zunga zunga. And you're like, not again, not again, not again. You see, you're used to your head zunga zunga with problems. Your phone is ringing nonstop with problems. Your ex is bringing rubbish. Your former employer is bringing rubbish. NSSF is canceling your dividends. And TRA is asking for taxes of goods you brought in 7 years ago. Your head is used to that bad zunga zunga. There is a new zunga zunga. Miracle after miracle, blessing after blessing, open doors after open doors, blessing after blessing, from your church to your house to your car to your husband to your children to your job, in person, online, everywhere, miracle after miracle. This is what he says. Things are going to happen so fast, your head is going to swim. One thing fast on the heels of another. You won't know where it starts and where it ends, because it's at the speed of God. Hallelujah. If you can do it, you'll get it done in 2 weeks. But when God comes through for you, what you could not get done in 20 years, God is going to get it done in 1 year. God, I release the anointing for speed on you. I did not come here to fool around with you. I came here to elevate your speed, to elevate the grace on you, to elevate the power of God on you, to elevate the favor of God on you. Things that have been going slow, 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 let the grace of God kick in, that they will get quicker, that they will get faster, that they will go farther, that they will go quicker, that they will go higher. You may have taken seven years in kindergarten, but there is a speed that's coming on you. It's not going to be slow anymore. He's going to quicken you, that what you thought would be taking forever, get used to it. People get there and get promoted after 5 years. 5 years. They are section head after 5 years. Section head after 5 years. There is a grace, the supernatural increase of God, that the speed of God elevates you and takes you and moves you and motivates you and gets you there, that people will begin to zunga zunga as well and begin to say, where does he get the money? I think he's going under the sea. Where does he get the money? I think he's now this and now that. Where does she get the money? Let's check their accounts. Let's check their business. Let's check their background. Where do they get the money? Where did they get the land? Where did they get the favor? Where did they get the people? Where did they get it? We have been trying to do it. They will complain. We've been trying to do it for 20 years and we've not been able to do it. How can they come and out of nowhere they get it done in no time? It is called the grace of supernatural increase, where you move at the speed of God. You know, there's a place where you can manhandle things. You manhandle them. You bully them around. But then there's a place where God, you know, God can't manhandle. So there's a place where God handles it. And he does it God's way, God's speed. This is God's work. Do you really have no clue that God is well able to take care of his own in his own way? By God handling it, I came to declare a season of miracle after miracle. I came to declare a season of signs and wonders. I came to declare a season of unlimited abundance. I came to declare a season where your head is gonna zunga zunga with the miracles all around you. Miracle in the city, miracle in the country, miracle up and miracle down, miracle here and miracle there. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the speed of God. You must get it done at the speed of God. I'm going to conclude with this. At Redemption, as we began to build and we've been progressing, the Lord began to do some great things in us. People who had no houses began to build. One man began to build six houses. Six at once. Six. I know another one who's building five. At once. The one of six has finished them. Another one is building five. And in the realm of the spirit, I began to realize we are at the speed of God. And the speed of God is connected to the building of the house of God. So I began to slow down the finishing of the house of God. We cannot finish God's house until God finishes your house. You'll get this. You'll get it. You'll get it. I cannot put that ceiling in there when I have church members still renting. You see, it's not me doing it. We're not finishing and building these houses because we have wisdom and grace. You six houses at once. In 1 week, you lay foundation six houses. There's something supernatural. When you get into the supernatural, you're moving at the speed of God. You dare not finish the speed of God. I said, God, we are finished. So we were planning to launch the church this month. I got up one day and announced, I said, we're not launching the church. Hallelujah. We're not launching it. We're still building it. Because I want more. Some people's houses have not yet started. How dare we finish and conclude the speed of God because we think we have finished as in the flesh? Because you must understand, God does not just want us to build his house. As we build his house, he wants to build your house. He wants to build your family, build your business. So that when we are building the church in Arusha, one chap will stand up here in Dar es Salaam and say, I've paid for the whole, all the land, just me and my house. I want to pay for the entire roof just by myself. Huh? One can stand up and say, Dodoma, how much is the land? 57 million? I've sent the check. One guy. That's what God is interested in. And that's why you must understand, it's the speed of God. We used to sing that song, but many people don't understand it. I'm gonna ride glory train. I'm gonna ride glory train. There is a train of glory. When you jump on that train of glory, it's not you doing it. It's the train taking you. It is God doing it. It's not your speed, your knowledge, your experience. It is the speed and the grace and the glory of God. Hallelujah. Lift those hands. Father, we honor you tonight. Oh, thank you for your presence, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing, the anointing that makes life possible. Thank you for the anointing that you have released in the house tonight. Thank you for the supernatural increase of heaven. Thank you for the supernatural increase of God. We are here tonight, Lord, not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Ghost. We trust in you. Now, Lord, we release this word in the hearts and in the spirits of every man and every woman, and this work, that the timing is right, that the hour is now. We release this word and we proclaim that the season is now. The timing is here. And we declare that all things line up. All things line up at the timing of God. We command everything to fall in place. Everyone to fall in place because the timing is of God. Now is the hour. Glorify your name, Jesus. Now we thank you for the speed of God. Not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the speed of God that moves us and gets us there and gets us going. Thank you for the speed of God that causes us not to function and operate in the realms of man, but causes us to operate in the realms of God.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe and share the message to your family and friends. Follow us on our social media at Kingstar Church.